our kitchen and clothes in our back and heals our body, and most of us have a right mind. And I'm thankful for that. Hey, Courtney. Is that you back here? Yeah. Good to see you, Scott. Yeah, I tell you, I texted Courtney yesterday. I said, I sure miss your family. Hope y'all all feeling better. And she says, we're rushing as hard as we can to get there tonight. I said, it's Tuesday. Oh, my gosh. So I'm glad you didn't drive up here and show up. You've been alone. So, all right. Children, Tay, lead them out. Onward, Christian soldiers. We'd like for the church to remember my aunt Lois in the morning, my dad's sister. She's having surgery at 9:15 in Charlotte in the morning, cancer surgery. Just keep a prayer. Pray for her, if you would, that God will just give her the touch she needs. I know she's scared and uncertain and like anybody would be. And just pray for her that God gives her peace and that God gives her healing, that she comes through this with healing. She's a good woman. Met my Aunt Lois, a good, godly woman, and served the Lord all of her life. So just keep her in your prayers, if you would, in the morning about 9:15 as they take her back. I would appreciate that. As you can see by the title of the message, and it continues. What have we been talking about the last few weeks? Anybody remember? Plagues. And it continues. Something we don't want to hear, right? Sometimes our life feels that way, don't it? And it continues. You know, the transmission went out, the washer broke, the microwave fell off the shelf, the dog had to go to the vet, you know, a tree fell in your house. I mean, just everything sometimes at one time, it's like it continues, it continues, it continues. We're talking about the plagues, and we're going to be talking about plagues number 5, 6, and 7 tonight. And there's still more to follow that. Kind of like Hurricane Irma, just kept on going from Florida to Georgia, South Carolina. I mean, that thing was just affecting. It's going to affect half the nation time it's over. It continues. And some things in tonight's message I want to share, I begin to think about this as I begin to read chapter 9 and just begin to think about some things. And we'll share a couple of points I want to make, because even the plagues, we can definitely see the hand of God. And we will talk about that. To recap the first four plagues we talked about, in case you've missed it, the first plague was that all the water got turned to blood, every river, every pond, every creek, or down here, every creek. They all turned to blood. Second plague was frogs. Frogs everywhere. Frogs. I mean, I know Melanie can't stand one little hoppy toad in our driveway. She about freaks. So I can imagine her house being full of frogs. The third plague was gnats. Gnats or slash mosquitoes. Something to that degree. Just fill the land. That was the third plague. The fourth plague was flies. My number one enemy. Flies. I don't like flies, church. I mean, I really don't like flies. If God didn't have my tongue, I might have bad words come out when I say flies. I don't like flies. I mean, I absolutely don't like flies. They're just so aggravating. It's like they know they're aggravating you. It's like how I do Melanie, right? Just know, aggravate. So tonight we're going to get the fifth plague, and we're going to be in chapter 9, Exodus chapter 9. And as we know, Pharaoh's the king of Egypt, the leader of Egypt, and these first four plagues have come and gone. Pharaoh's still got his heart hardened. He's still going to let him go, even though he's seen what God has done. And one of the points I want to make tonight I thought was really important is even in God's judgment and anger toward Egypt, all of those plagues were temporary, weren't they? They weren't permanent. He didn't destroy the people. They came for a few days, and he removed them. And I got thinking about how we see the grace of God even in calamity. Even in tragedy, even in judgment, that we see that the grace of God that shows up to say, this isn't permanent and it's not forever. I'm removing the plague off of you. And it reminds me of how our life is, that we go through storms in every season of our lives and how they're not forever either. How that these storms do pass and how that we do graduate out of those and how God's hand of mercy shows up in our storm that we think is never going to end, the night's never going to, give way to light, our depth of depravity is never going to give way to victory, and that's all we see, because all we see is defeat. And I think as humans, we're like that. It's easy. I think we're wired that way just to see the negative. That's why the news ratings are so up on negative news. That's why every reporter is so gung-ho about getting you the worst, saddest story ever. You know the animal commercial they have on TV, abused animals. In the arms of an angel. My dog could be in that commercial. They have all these dogs look so sad. And it just gets your emotion, don't it? You see these little sad doggy faces, and it just pulls your heart out. You want to help. And that's what the world does. It paints the negativity of what's wrong and what's bad, and that's what we seem to gravitate toward. But God is showing us through this. Yes, there were plagues. Yes, the water was bloody for 7 days, but not forever. Yes, there were frogs for a few days, but not forever. Yes, there were flies for a few days, but not forever. As quick as I put them on you, I remove them off of you. Showing us the hand of grace and mercy and how God is not out to get us. God loves us. And God is wanting us to see who He is through everything. And I got thinking about that. So far, through all of these plagues, at this point, right? Through four plagues, He's not destroyed humanity. These plagues have come. These plagues have been removed. Just like our lives, we go through things that come and they go. So chapter 9, we pick up. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and tell him, thus saith the Lord, God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. If thou refuse to let them go, hold them still. Behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, upon thy field, upon the horses, upon the donkeys, upon the camels, upon the oxen, upon the sheep, that there shall be a very grievous murrain, just a severe pestilence, what that really means. And the Lord shall sever, here it is again, He shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is the children of Israel. Reminds me of Psalm 91. Those that abide under the shadow of the Almighty, those that dwell in the secret place, the Most High, that I'll put angels in charge over you, that 10,000 will fall at one side, 1,000 the other side, but it shall not come nigh your dwelling. I'm reminded of that chapter right there. God was going to put a separation to show, here's the fifth plague, that all livestock is going to be diseased. I'm going to put a disease upon your sheep, upon your cattle, upon your oxen. This was huge. This was now attacking their economy. This was attacking them financially. It was a huge loss. Now, we know how we are in America about our presidents, right? Our economy stinks. We need a new president. Gas is high. It's the president's fault. Well, you know, every season, no matter who's in office, we blame the president for a poor economy, high gas, high job loss. All that goes back to the president. So now all the cattle, all the economy is being attacked by God. These people have got to start thinking, Pharaoh, just let him go. Just let him go. Because now, okay, the flies were a nuisance. The frogs were bad. The mosquitoes were awful. And the blood water was not good. You know, I missed my Aquavina. I get that. All that was, you know, all that. But now, you're attacking my pocketbook. Now, this is going to hurt us financially. But notice what he said. The children of Israel, your cows will still moo. And your sheep will still baa. Because none of them's going to be touched. This shows me here the mercy of God upon His people, the protection of God upon His people, and the power of God that He can actually separate by His command which animals are diseased and which ones aren't. That's the direct authority of God, that He has that kind of power. As Melly said earlier, we see things like hurricanes and we see tragedies. We see when 9/11 happened, we see those events that put people on their knees again, praying and asking God for guidance, for strength, for hope, for help. Here we see, He said, I'm not going to touch your animals. I'm going to put a difference. What else did it do? It showed the Egyptians who the Israelites' God was. Wouldn't you want a God like that? I mean, think about this. Think about you being in a neighborhood. I had a dream about this years ago when I was in the other house we lived in. Think about your neighborhood. You got all these houses. Tornado comes through. Hits this one, misses that one. Hits this one, hits this one, misses that one. Hits this one, misses that one. The hand of God that somehow supernaturally protected you God was going to protect his people, and he was trying to show the Egyptians, can your God do this? Or your gods, can they do this? The ones you worship, the golden statues you build, can they do what I'm going to do? Because think about it. When this plague hit, they definitely were noticing the Hebrews' cows are still alive and are still well. They're not dead. Why are theirs alive and ours are dead? Why is their sheep alive and ours is dead? Why is their oxen alive and ours is dead? Why is their economy not been touched, but ours is being destroyed? God was showing himself who he is, and he was showing this. This is what I can do for you. It's a little deeper message, I think, than just striking some animals sick and some not. I think there's a message in this, numerous messages. One is building the faith of the people of Israel, saying, trust me, I showed up. I mean, man, how emboldened and faithful we be if we were there and saw that? All the Egyptians' animals were being sick and slain with a plague, and your animals were safe, everybody you talked to. Mr. Hebrew Joe, Mr. Hebrew Gail, Mr. Hebrew Marjorie, Mrs. Hebrew, Mrs. Shirley Hebrew, Mr. Gail Hebrew, Mrs. Donna Hebrew, Mr. Brandon Hebrew. Is your sheep alive? Yep, yours, yep, yours, yep, all of them. Wow, God, you really, this plan of Moses, this, 40-year-old man who come out with this big idea of leading us out, he might be onto something. Because it's working. Because God, you're showing up. And I love when God shows up. When God shows up, it builds our faith. It encourages us to realize, yes, Lord, you are in control. Yes, Lord, your word is true. Yes, Lord, your plan will be realized. Yes, Lord, I will finish the destiny that you created me to walk in. Yes, Lord, this is going to work. And yes, Lord, the end result will be just like you said it would be. That's what I believe. So he's going to separate the plague. He did this. What verse are we on? 5. The Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in their land. And the Lord did that thing on the next day, and all the cattle of Egypt died. But of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. See, Pharaoh was so curious, he sent people out to check it out. Go see if Joe Brown's cattle died or not. And they come back. Nope, they're still right there chewing that grass. When I walked up, they looked right at me. They lied, Mr. Pharaoh. All the cattle of Egypt died, but not one, narrow one, none of the Hebrews died. You don't think the Egyptians took notice of that? I would. Pharaoh or no Pharaoh, I'd be like, Pharaoh, I know you're all powerful and you're all this, and in some people's eyes, he was a god. But you and your magicians and your sorcerers and your witch doctors and all those people you got in charge, they can't do what this God of the Hebrews is doing. God all along was doing, I think, a twofold thing. Number one, he was securing and encouraging his own people to keep trusting him. And number two, he was making a very clear picture to the Egyptians of which side they should be on. God wasn't doing this just to be mean, just to be a game. He was doing it for a purpose. He was teaching the Israelites trust and assurance and patience. And he was teaching the Egyptians that there is no God like, there is no God other than me. I am the only true living God. Trust me. Believe in me. So that was the fifth plague, was all the beasts of the field were destroyed. Sixth plague we get. The Lord said to Moses and to Aaron, take you a handful of ashes of the furnace. Let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. It shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt. Shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. So the next plague is boils upon man and beast. And they took ashes of the furnace, stood before Pharaoh and Moses, sprinkled it toward heaven. It became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man upon beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto him as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. Pharaoh continually saying no. Don't care his boils? No. Continually hardening his heart. Yet the people of Egypt have to be noticing, man. Now, if you're wondering, I kind of did some research on this. There's 10 plagues in total that we'll go through. And these 10 plagues seem to, just by what you read in the Word of God and putting things together, covered a period of anywhere from probably 40 to 50 days. So this all happened all, I mean, you're talking about having a bad month. This was a bad month. This kind of all happened. Boom, the next one, boom, that next one, boom. And all this came at one time. And still Pharaoh will not let the people go. But see, this was part of God's plan. All of this was not getting God off guard. God told Moses, I'm going to harden his heart. He's not going to let you go. Not yet. There's a process. And I've been saying this. Church, there is a purpose to the process. We don't like the process. The process can be boring or hard or anguishing or disturbing even. But the process leads us to the purpose. It's just how it is. As you young people like Sierra, who is going into adult, who is an adult now, excuse me, not going into adulthood, who isn't a young adult, and we talked to a young man today we hadn't seen in a long time, and caught up with him. He's about 22 or 23. As you are going to adulthood, you begin to see that the process of adulthood is not always cracked up to be. And being 10 years old sounds awful good again sometimes. Because we realize that to get what we want in life, there's hard work, there's loss, and there's gain. There's hardships, and there's victories. It's a process. Not everything's always hunky-dory. But it's the process that leads us to the purpose. And so Moses is going through a process. The children of Israel are going through a process. Can you imagine them in their living room at night? They got the little candle lit, you know, they're winding down for bed, and they're sitting there, the family, husband and wife, talking like, man, what is God doing? Why don't he just let us go? I mean, we got frogs, and we got lice, and we got gnats, and we got blood, and we got boils, and we got, you know, disease. Why don't God just, and sometimes we think that, Lord, if you could, like the hurricane, and we know God can. I mean, God could have blew in that hurricane as soon as it got to Florida and completely just went back out to Atlantic and never turned. We know that. God could have done that. He didn't do that, but he could have. He could have just blew it and not even touched Florida at all. But it did. Because God's ways, the Bible says, aren't like our ways. And so we don't always understand why God moves the way he does or allows things to happen the way he does. But I do trust God. And I truly believe that God does know best and that his plan is best. And that's what I've got to trust. And I think that's what he wants to teach all of us. That through the process, through the tribulations, none of us like it. I said that last week. I don't care what we say. We don't like tribulations. There's nobody that comes to church on Sunday and they're clapping their hands and worshiping a song called, I'm going through tribulations and sorrows and I hate my life. We're not praising God to those kind of songs. We're praising God to songs of encouragement and hope and love. But the point is we do go through tribulations. And during those tribulating, trying times, when we see no way out, when we see no victory, I talked to Joe this week, bless Joe's heart. He's had one thing after the other happen this week. I mean, just one thing after the other. I mean, it's like the old saying, you can't make up what Joe told me this week. You couldn't make it up. It's been so bad. In fact, I asked him that. You making this up? No. I mean, the point is, through all of that, through the boils, through the frogs, through the lice, through the blood, all of that happening, God is showing us, trust me. Don't trust your situation. Don't trust your circumstance. Don't trust what you see around you, but trust who lives in you. Trust me. For I am the Lord thy God, and by my strong arm will I pull you out and pull you through, and you will see the victory and not the defeat, because your eyes are upon me and my hand is upon you. That's what God is saying. Hallelujah. And that's what he wants to teach us. Trust him. If the frogs are in your bed, will you still trust God? When the mosquitoes are filled your kitchen and the gnats, will you still trust God? When you can't drink no water because it's all turned to blood, will you still trust God? When there's boils on your skin, you can't even sit down for pain or lay down and sleep, will you still trust God? It's God is the one that wants to be seen. It's God that wants to be heard. It's God's hand that needs to be experienced. And through the process, we see that. Because we exhaust all resources and realize, God, it's you or it's bust. You see the signs, California bust, you know, whatever. God or bust. We need to be carrying signs. It's God or bust. Because God, I got to trust you now like I never have before. I told you a story of Bruce. We're on the airplane going to Oklahoma to see Lindra. He just got the phone call. Didn't have any details. Just said she'd been in a bad wreck. They really couldn't tell him much. But it was, they did tell Bruce, says it's bad enough. You need to fly here. You need to get here. Didn't know anything. We're on the plane. I'm sitting beside Bruce. He's actually pretty calm. And, you know, being his wife and all, I'm sitting there kind of watching that, observing him. I went with him. And I'm like, brother, you really are calm. How are you so calm right now? Because I'm thinking about if I was my wife, I mean, you know, this man of faith before you would be like a big melted pot of butter, like on a grilled cheese sandwich. Because that's my wife, you know what I'm saying? I would like I'd be strong, but I don't know if I would be or not. It's my wife. It's the best half of my life. And so I'm like, I don't know how I would react. So I'm sitting there talking to Bruce, and I said, man, you seem so calm. Here's what he told me, I never forget it. He said, man, if I can't trust God now, I can't trust him at all. I got to trust him. I'm like, wow, that should be all of our mindset. God, I've got to trust you now. Easy to trust you when you're on the mountain, man. It's easy to trust you. You get that promotion at work. Oh, God's good. God is good all the time and all the time. What, church? Oh, yeah, we like saying that. We love saying that. But all of a sudden, you get fired. Do you hear anybody say that when I get fired? I lost my job today. But God is good all the time and all the time. God's good. We might say it, but it's not with quite the enthusiasm, is it? The decibel level is quite a bit reduced on that because we just don't feel that way because we're human. We don't see God getting fired. How could God be me getting fired? How could God be me going bankrupt? How could God be me totaling my car and having no money to get another one? How could God be in my wayward child being lost and not? How could God be in any of that? But if we learn to look that God is in everything and the center of everything, just like the eye of the storm, right? We know that in the hurricane, in that eye, it's calm. They had a reporter on the Weather Channel that was in the eye. You know, several ones I'm sure were, but I remember seeing one that was in the eye. The first eye wall had passed through. He was in the eye. Just before 130-mile-an-hour winds, he's in the very middle of the hurricane, and a hair ain't being blowed out of place. That amazes me. But you know what was happening? You know, you've seen the pictures. The eyes in the middle and all the wind fields around it. So all around that empty hole, just to make it in simple terms, that empty hole we see on the radar, all of that band is the storm. But in the very middle of all the chaos is the calmest point possible. That is Christ in us. That when all the storm around us is blowing, it is the anchor of Christ inside of us that anchors us and keeps us calm that we're not blown away. And we can withstand the eye walls coming through because he's in the center of the storm. That's what we're seeing with these plagues. That's what we're seeing with Pharaoh, the Egyptians, and the Hebrew children. God is wanting all to see it is me and no other. I can make bulls come. I can make bulls go. I can make frogs come. I can make frogs go. I can have flies come. I can have flies go. But it all comes down to me. I'm the one that's all powerful. I'm the one that's omnipresent. I'm the one that can do anything. I'm the one that waves my hand and everything bows. I'm the one that brings victory. I'm the one in control of all things. That's what we're seeing with this. Now, Pharaoh's seeing it. He's just not admitting it. Don't you think Pharaoh wasn't going back to his little palace, scratching his head and his goatee, thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Because I know this thing's real. But man, I ain't about to let them go. We got some people that are so stubborn and so prideful. 4 days after they're in the ground, you go to their grave, they're still trying to come out the dirt after you. I mean, they ain't letting it go. They ain't letting it go. I remember one time mom and dad got in a little argument at home. No surprise. Y'all argue, right, husbands and wives? Yeah. They got an argument. I was a little kid, and I remember arguing stuff. I remember mom looked at dad and says, "Why don't you just dig a hole and go in after it?" Because it kept pressing her about something, and I heard her say that. "Why don't you dig a hole and just go in after it?" That's how we are sometimes, man. Not only do we dig a hole, we go in after it. I mean, if there's ever a zombie apocalypse, if there's ever a zombie uprising, what's going to happen? It's going to be some of you stubborn, prideful pharaohs that can't let it go. I'm not letting it go. Oh, I'm surprised Brother Short wasn't buried this checkbook, Joe Brown, aren't you? I tell you. Let's move on. Glory, this is good stuff. What verse are we on, Brandon? Thank you, sir. So, seventh plague. So, here's the seventh one. It's the last one we'll talk about tonight. The Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh, say to him," here it is again, "Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they might serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, upon thy servants, upon thy people, that thou may knowest there is none like unto me in all the earth." I'm amazed at this. With all of our technology, with hurricane tracking, and they can predict within, you know, usually a few miles almost of a track storm. They can predict about when it'll hit. They can predict when snow's going to happen, when, you know, tornado warning, all this stuff they can predict. But they can't stop it. They couldn't stop Irma. They could watch her. It's like that commercial I love where the bank's getting robbed, and the woman there on the floor or on the ground, and looks at that security monitor, says, "Why don't you do something?" "I'm security monitor. I just monitor when there's a robbery. There's a robbery." I mean, that cracks me up. I mean, that's kind of how the weatherman is, right? "Yeah, there's a hurricane. I'm just letting you know it's a hurricane. I can't do nothing about it. There's a bad one coming. Better get out of town." I mean, I thought about that, you know. I'm amazed that you know, they can't stop it. They can't do a thing to make Irma go away. They can say all they want, "Irma, Irma, go away, come back no other day." That don't work. It just don't work. There's things that God is in complete, well, all things, we know he is, but there's things that man just can't do, and that's what God does best. Pointing out, you can't do this. You can't stop this. You can't create this. You can't change this. It's like the old joke I said years ago where this scientist got real smart, and he thought, "You know what? I'm so smart, I can make man like God. I can create man. I don't need God's help for nothing. I can do it all on my own. I got all my own stuff." So the scientist reached down, picked up a thing of dirt to put under the microscope, and the voice of God said, "Throw that down. That's my dirt." He couldn't even do it without God's dirt. He started out with something God created. So it's amazing to me how man thinks they are so smart and can do all these things, but they can't. They can't create, not really. And they sure can't stop the things of God. And so I got to think about that though, with the weathermen, and you know, they can warn us, but they couldn't stop it. So here he's telling the children of Egypt that I want you to know that there is none like me in all the earth. "For I will stretch out my hand that I might smite you and your people with pestilence, that you shall be cut off from the earth. And in very deed for this cause have I raised you up, to show you my power, that my name may be declared throughout all the earth." He wanted his name. God is trying to show the children of Egypt, as well as Pharaoh himself, there is no other God but me. There is no other name that should be declared but mine. I want all the earth to know who God is, with no doubt and with no reservation. No confusion, clear cut, one God, and you're it. That was part of the purpose. God was trying to show the people who he was. "As you exaltest thyself against my people, and you will not let them go, behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation, therefore, even unto now. Send therefore now, and gather your cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field shall be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die.
He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. I think about this too, how compassionate God was to even give them a warning to say, if you don't want them destroyed, take care of them. Let's see if you'll obey me and obey my word and trust me that my word is true. So I thought that was interesting. He that feared the Lord, verse 21, he that regarded not the word of the Lord let his servants and his cattle in the field. And the Lord said to Moses, stretch forth your hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man, upon beast, upon every herb of the field, throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven. The Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground. And the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such there was none like it in the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the fields, both man and beast. The hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were there no hail. Once again, that amazing. Hail all over Egypt, but not just one little area. How did that little spot not get hail? Can you imagine hail and fire raining down and all the storm and thunder raining down and all the Egyptians? But here is God's people outside, safe and sound. Nothing from the sky falling upon them because the hand of God was protecting them. Once again, encouraging Israel and showing Egypt, look what kind of God that I am, that I can do this. Do you want me to be your God? Do you want me to be your father? Because this is what I do. I protect my people. I love my people. And I see the stories. We get through these plagues. I begin to see the true love that God has for his people, that he begins to spare them from the plagues, reminding us that he takes care of us. Just as Psalm 91 says, no plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. The noise of pestilence by day or by night, and the arrow that flieth by day. Psalms 91 is a powerful, powerful psalm, showing us the love God has for us, the protection God gives us. And for his people, they are seeing a merciful God. They had, church, I don't care, they had to be amazed. They had to be in awe of this God that they worshiped, how he could do such marvelous works. I bet they were praising God and thanking God in their homes. And thank you, Lord, for sparing us of this. And there is no God like Jehovah. Oh, Father, we praise. There's no God like our Jehovah. I can imagine their praise being lifted up as they begin to see the plagues not come nigh their dwelling. As Melanie said, we all have so much to be thankful for. And there are so many in such bad, dire situations that we are not in. And yes, we have our problems. And no problem is less important to God or to ourselves or someone else's. I get that. But I thank God that we are where we are at and not where we could be. I'm so thankful for that. Because there are so many other situations, but for the grace of God, we would be there. For the grace of God, I could be locked up in prison for life. For the grace of God, I could be a drug addict. For the grace of God, you know, I could have gone through all these women and never found true love. For the grace of God, I could be not good looking. For the grace of God, I mean, you really think about, let's make sure y'all still listen. For the grace of God, I could have had children that weren't normal. What I mean by that, don't nobody get too PR on me, or too PC on me, excuse me. What I mean by that is they're not handicapped, and they have their right minds, and they can all three function, some better than others, but they can all function. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful I had three healthy children. I'm thankful for a beautiful wife. I'm thankful for shelter at night. I'm thankful that I don't have a Jeep anymore. Hallelujah. Praise God. Give all praise to Jehovah Jesus. I am thankful for a lot of things. And we could be so much worse. And for the people of Florida, I'm sure they are very thankful today. The mayor of Tampa actually was giving credit to God in one of his speeches of how it could have been so much and how that God had spared, because it could have been a disaster. I mean, absolute, complete disaster. And yes, there were homes flooded, and there was some damage, yes. But for the strength of that storm, you know what we really saw? The strength of our God. That's what we saw. And, of course, people often won't give God credit. They'll blame it. Well, it went a different pattern, and the high pressure pushed it 28 miles here. Well, who's over the high pressure? Well, it's because of an atmospheric shift in the molecule change of nuclear space. Boy, that sounded good. It made no sense. What it goes back to is God. God's over the high. You know, we see those little H's on the map and L's on the map. In the wintertime, we get excited with the big L, right, when it's coming up the Gulf Coast, and it's about January. Woo, L means snow coming, right? We get excited. The big high pressure building, we know what that means. Everybody knows what the H and L means. H means dry, sunny, and L means wet, precipitation. But who's over the H and L on the map? Who's over that jet stream that we see sweep across our nation? God is. Who's over those Gulf Stream waters that rush up? God is. God is in control. His voice commands everything to be in motion. Nothing moves because without the command of God. Nothing stops without the command of God. The birds you hear in the mornings waking you up, they are doing what they were called to do by God. They are singing. They are talking. They are. All we hear is chirping and whistling. If you hear this sometimes in your house, you got a woodpecker. It's okay. That woodpecker beating his head in the wood is doing what God told him to do. I don't know why. Take that up with God. But that's what they do. They beat their beak on a board. And they do it. That's what they do. But they're doing what God told them to do. Don't blame a polar bear for eating your little girl. So that's what they do. God created them. And they just are doing what they're commanded to do. And I'm amazed that people still will not give credit to God, to the Creator, with all the proof that He has given us. Oh, all the proof. I told you the eclipse. I got a good friend let me have some glasses for the eclipse. And I got to watch it. Try to get Melanie out there, and she didn't want to do it. She didn't care about it. But I was really interested in it. To me, it was a very spiritual moment. I know for Melanie's like, oh, it's a black dot from a sun. But to me, it was a spiritual moment. To see the shifting in the hand of God doing something we don't see very many times in our lifetime. And how God did that. To me, it was just a spiritual moment. But anyway, maybe I'm just too sappy. 27. Pharaoh sent and called for Moses. Of course he did. Remember, he always called for Moses when he wants things to stop. I love this. When Moses tells him to let people go, not going, boy, get away from him. But every time the plague comes, hey, go get that Moses, call him back in here. So he called Moses back again and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. This time, right? I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Oh, he sounded so repentant, didn't he? Oh, this is it, church. I bet the plagues are going to stop right here. Because Pharaoh's finally got it. Entreat the Lord. Talk to him for us, Moses. Ask him. For it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings in hell. I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. And Moses said to him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands to the Lord. The thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou may knowest how that the earth is the Lord's. The whole purpose, we've been talking about it, is to point people to God. It's not that God is even really punishing Egypt. He's trying to show them who He is. I'm God. Look what I can do. I can protect them and still punish you. I can make it come and I can make it go. I can wave my hand, I can retreat my hand. Whatever it is. Something else I thought about was interesting. This is off subject a little bit. When Tampa Bay, you saw the picture of Tampa Bay, right? How the water receded. Y'all see that? How the bay was empty. Did you see that, Mom and Dad? It showed Tampa Bay and how people were walking down in the bay, how it receded. You know what story came in my mind, right? Anybody guess? Red Sea. Don't tell me man can't walk on dry land. Because what God did in Tampa Bay, Florida in 2017 is the same thing He did in the days of Moses. He blew His breath and the water receded and they walked across on dry land. So don't tell me. I saw that picture. I thought, oh my God, I'm looking for horses and Ben-Hur. You know, where are they at? Because that's what I thought about. They were down in the bay, walking around where there should have been water. Man didn't do that. Mother Nature did that, right? Well, who's Mother Nature? It's God the Father. God the Father is Mother the Nature. And so he receded those waters out. And I thought about that. Wow, how can people say the Red Sea really couldn't have parted? We saw with our social media, with cameras, Tampa Bay, the water wasn't there. Can you imagine people crossing the bridge? I mean, really? Getting out of their cars, walking around? Gee, George, where's the water? I don't know, Marianne, where's the water? Where's the water at? Where'd it go? It happened, church. The internet said it. It happened. There was dry ground where water used to be. I've immediately thought about that. How in the world can anyone ever again say it couldn't have happened back then when we see it happen in 2018? The same God thousands of years ago that rolled back the Red Sea is the same God today that rolled back the Bay Seas. It's the same God. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change not. And I'm thankful for that, that my God doesn't change. God was showing off on CNN. Hallelujah. Of course, scientists have an explanation for that. And we know that. Church, look, I believe in science. I just know who the scientist is. I believe in a Big Bang. I just know who told the bang. I believe in what scientists have proven, but I know who's behind why it's there. That's the difference. They say there's black holes that'll suck you in. That's creepy, ain't it? Them black holes in space that just go to nowhere. And how some phenomena, you know, create. Did you know? I mean, we know there's no end to space. We know that. And they're finding more and more. They say there are hundreds of millions of galaxies. It's not just our. How many planets are there now? 9. 10? Yeah, Pluto's 8, I think. There are so much more in our 8 little planets, in our little Milky Way. There are billions of galaxies and trillions and zillions and millions of stars and planets. I mean, God went so over the top to show who he was. So over the top. How can a desert be 110 degrees in the day and you got to put a coat on at night? That's what the desert's like. I've not been in one, but I've seen cowboy movies. And that's what they say, 110 in a day and cold at night. It's amazing to see what God has done. Man, he's a powerful God. So powerful. We're on verse 30. About to finish up here. As for you and your servants, I know you will not yet fear the Lord God. And the flax and the barley was smitten, for the barley was in the ear and the flax was boiled. They lost their crops by the hail. But the wheat and the rye were not smitten, for they were not grown up. He spared that for them so they could keep surviving. Another part of the God's mercy. Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh. He spread about his hands the Lord, and the thunders and the hail, they ceased. They stopped. And the rain was not poured upon the earth. And when Pharaoh saw the rain, the hail, and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go as the Lord God had spoken by Moses. Pharaoh was great about when there was any relief, whenever the plague would leave, he would change his mind. And I think we can take a point in our lives like that, that we don't just serve God or seek God when things are bad. And then when things get good, I talked to a guy years ago in the hospital. He was having some surgery and he was in pain. He was a little bit scared. This is probably 10 years ago. And he told me, he said, Pastor, I made a bargain with God. He get me through this and I get me out of this pain. Da, 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 da. I'll serve him and I'll turn my life around. And I knew that wasn't going to happen because that's not why we do that. We don't serve God to get out of pain. We don't serve God to get out of a bad situation. You know, I've been married for 25 years. There's been mostly good times, but there's not always been great times. And I don't, you know, I don't serve as a husband to my wife only when it's convenient for me. I try to serve her when it's not convenient for me. I heard the same way. We serve each other when it's not convenient. We serve each other when we're both low and down and we're both high in victory. When things are great and when things are horrible. I'm still her husband, she's still my wife, and we get through it together. You love your children unconditionally. You may not always like them, but you love them. And no matter what they do, you just can't lose that love. You love them. We don't serve God to get out of a bad place. Every time the plague left, Pharaoh then would go back on his word and say, I'm not going to let you go now because guess what? Everything's good now. We got three more plagues to go through. And the last plague will break the back of Pharaoh. Well, temporarily break the back of Pharaoh. Don't just serve God in the good times. Serve God when you don't maybe have good times because he's still God. And I think that he wants us to trust in him wholeheartedly. That's what faith's all about. If you can see it, church, it ain't faith. I mean, it's not faith when you can see it ahead of time. Faith is trusting God when you can't see it. Faith is believing God when you can't hear it. Following God is by faith is when you don't know where he's leading, but yet you follow. Remember he told his disciples, come follow me. They left their professions. They left what they knew. They left what they did. And they just trusted him and followed him. We'll follow you, Master. We trust you. We'll go where you go. We'll sleep where you sleep. The plagues are continuing, but God is showing who he is through it all. And the people of Israel are being more and more encouraged because they're seeing the hand of God in their situation. And the children of Egypt are also seeing the God of the Hebrews. And I bet they're starting to think, man, this is the real deal. This is really who God is. He can do all things. So we'll get the next three plagues next Wednesday. And then we'll see what happens after that. So your life continues. Things continue. But so does God's love and grace. And God gets you through every season. I promise he gets you through every season. I believe we can actually make this a very positive thing. I think sometimes the more tribulation we go through, that we actually grow stronger in our walk with God because we really do rely on him and we trust him. We trust him. Every person born has an appetite for something bigger than themselves. They don't always find what they're looking for, maybe, but they're searching for something bigger. Whether it's science, you know, whether it's astrology, whether it's a higher spiritual form, whether it's ghost in the attic, I don't know, whatever. But everyone is searching and realizes that there's something more than this, bigger than them. As we look at creation, God just shows us who he is. Any comments tonight before we close out? Right, that's a very good point. Meant to bring that point up, actually. Yes. Right. And also affected their worship, because that's another good point. They would sacrifice their animals to worship as well. So not only was it an economic hit when they lost their animals, but it also affected their worship because they sacrificed at worship. And so they had nothing to sacrifice. So that it goes back, like you said, shows that he was powerful over all of that. Anybody else? Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. And you know what? Trusting in God is so much easier than trusting in ourselves. You know why? Because he's doing all the work. What does the Bible say in 1 Peter? Cast all your burden on him, for he careth for you. So give it to him, church. Just Give it to him. Proverbs 3 tells us this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him, and he will direct all your paths. Get Brenda? Yeah. Amen. Yeah, I was gone. Melly was there at the house. You know, I was gone taking Christian back to Atlanta. And so she was home Monday night without me. And she said she heard a wind banging the house pretty hard. It got pretty gusty Monday night around here. And her stuff hit my house and all. But I was very thankful God took care of my wife while I was gone. And my daughter. And our home. Didn't lose any trees. Didn't lose a shingle. Didn't lose a shutter. Didn't lose a cat. Didn't lose none of them. So I'm thankful for that protection too, Brenda. It means a lot. Actually, being Christian, I took her back Monday evening, and of course, you know, the storm was heading toward Atlanta. And so I was right. And I mean, Christian was cracking on each other. I'm like, you know, I go help get you out of Florida to escape it, and I'm taking you right back in the storm to get you back to Atlanta. So, I mean, we're getting away from it, and I'm taking you right back to it, and it got really hairy. We on I-85, of course, going to Atlanta, and it was... I hydroplaned a bunch of times, and the wind was whipping my car, and branches on the side of the interstate. They're right there on the emergency lane, falling over big trees. Time I got to the motel room, I'm like, my God, thank God I'm here. But we started at Chick-fil-A by 8 o'clock, get something to eat down there in Georgia, and I'm in South Carolina then, actually. I don't remember where it was. But anyway, they were closing 2 hours early because of storms. Taco Bell, they said to close it next door 2 hours early because of storms. And the power went out twice while we was eating. And all I said was, look, I don't mind the dark. Just make sure my food's done. Can y'all get my food finished up? So I was hungry. I wanted to eat. I said, I'll see you in the dark. I just want to get my food done. But we rode right through it. And I thank God he kept me safe, Brenda, because it was a hairy ride. And I couldn't hardly see. There's parts of the interstate didn't have the little reflectors on it. And the visibility was horrible. And we got there, and God got us there safe, and I'm very thankful for that. I just had to get Christian back because I knew she had a long ride getting back, and it did take her. Usually a 6.5-hour ride from Atlanta to Orlando took her 14 hours. Took them 14 hours to get home. So thank God they canceled her school till Monday now. It was supposed to be till starting back Thursday. Now it's not starting back till Monday. So she calls and I could just stay home longer. I'm like, well, I know, and you wouldn't risk your father dying in a hurricane. But it's okay, honey. I love you. It's all about father and daughter. No damage to her car. Good prayer, Papa. Thank you, honey, Dad. Thank you for that. I text Chris that Papa's prayer worked, didn't it? So I know Dad prayed for a car to be safe and all, and it was still there. So. The favor of God. What does driver's ed teach you, Joseph? You don't pass a double yellow line. This is not Ohio. This is North Carolina. We don't drive across double yellow lines in North Carolina. Oh, man. Everybody else good? Marty, come play us a closeout song. Just something. And